Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Joshua Terry Podcast. I'm so excited that you're listening. We've got a great show in line for you today. First things first, I'm so excited that I get to say this. I'm so happy that I was so wrong with my predictions when it came to the Super Bowl. Quick review. I'm not going to get too deep into it. There's been plenty of talking heads out there that have said plenty about the game. I do want to say, we don't talk about offensive lines until we need to talk about offensive lines. People seem to forget that games are won in the trenches. You can blame the Chiefs offensive line, but the defense still had to execute, and they did that to such an awesome extent. They absolutely dominated the trenches in this game. It was a matchup nightmare for the Chiefs. The Buccaneers' strength on defense is their front seven. And in this game, it was the Chiefs' weakest spot on their whole team. You can't expect to win when you can't block. And that's so obvious. I wish that I would have paid a little bit more attention to that when making my predictions, looking at the injuries that the Chiefs were dealing with at their offensive line. They still had all their skill positions, and everybody and their mother was just saying, well, yeah, well, it's Mahomes. And I fell into the trap. I don't think this game takes anything away from Mahomes' legacy. I do think it definitely adds on to Brady's legacy. Even though he didn't do a lot, he did everything he had to do, got the ball where it needed to be. I know a couple of people were blaming referees. There was only one call I really seemed to disagree with, and that was the call in the end zone. It was called a pass interference. It was definitely at least a hold. I don't think the ball should have been put at the 1 yard line. It should have been half the distance to the goal. So it would have backed it up 4 yards. I don't think it made a huge difference. But other than that, I'm very happy. Like I said in the last podcast, I'm so happy to be cheering for Brady again. I won't be at the beginning of the season. I'm a Pats fan through and through. But it was sure nice to see him get that seventh ring, vindicate what we've always been saying about how good he is as a Patriots fan. And you know what? They'll be my second favorite team until he retires, at least. Coming up in a little while, I will have my good friend Zach Davis on. He is a country singer living in Nashville, Tennessee. I actually met him at a church group. We turned out to have a lot of mutual friends. He's almost always the loudest in the room, which he and I have in common. Many people that know me know that I talk nonstop, and he's the only guy that I can hang out with that I don't mind letting have the conversation. He is an excellent storyteller. He's hilarious. After hanging out at different church events, he started coming over to my apartment on Sundays. We'd watch football and hang out. And ever since then, you know, we've been hanging out. Now he actually has moved. I'm still in Hot Springs, Arkansas. He's over in Tennessee, but he comes down often. It's always great to see him when he does come here. He's a former football player also. We'll talk a little bit about that when he comes on. Actually just recorded an album. We'll get into more detail about that. It's called Hey Papaw. Wherever you listen to your music, you can find it. I'm super excited to have him on. And after this break, we'll get going. All right, I got Zach Davis on. How's it going, man?
Pretty good, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. It's so good to have you. I've been looking forward to this. Ever since you moved, you know, I don't get to talk to you as much. And I started this up, and I was like, I couldn't think of a better first guest than I could have than Zach.
Heck yeah. I'm excited, man.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, how have things been in Nashville right now?
Man, it's pretty crazy. You know, before all the COVID craziness, man, it was busy up here. Always people up here. And now it's kind of like a ghost town downtown lately. So
really?
It's been a little wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been to Nashville. My aunt actually lives in the area. I haven't been down there since I was probably in middle school. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and get started talking about your music. I know that, well, actually, you know what? We're going to save that for a second. Last week was the Super Bowl, obviously, and you're a big Saints fan.
I am.
Who were you rooting for during that game?
Man, it was tough. Obviously, you know my mother. And
yeah, my mom's a big Brady fan.
Brady fan all the way. To be 100% honest, I could have cared less.
Yeah.
You know, I was you know, if the Buccaneers win, I had the Chiefs pick to win.
Yeah.
My manager, Zach Goodner, his dad is the biggest Chiefs fan in the whole wide world. So I kind of had people on both sides. So I was just kind of in the middle. You know, I just enjoyed the game and yeah. I was at work for most of it, but I got to watch a little bit of it after I got off.
Yeah. See, I kind of played my cards perfectly because on the podcast that I did predicting what I thought would happen, I picked the Chiefs to win in a close-ish game. I said by 4 points or so. So if I was correct, I was still right. Even though I wouldn't have got who I wanted to win. But I mean, I was so happy to see what happened in the end.
Oh yeah.
So
you think he'll come back for eight? Do you think he's got eight next
he'll
year?
He'll definitely, I don't know if he'll get eight. He'll definitely be playing next year though.
Oh yeah, for sure.
He said for years he wants to play till he's 45. So he might even play longer than that. Who knows?
So how old is he now? 43?
43. Yeah.
43. So two more seasons.
Still strong. Right? Yeah, he'll be 44 this offseason. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild. It's so crazy to think that dude got in the NFL while I was in kindergarten.
Yep.
It's wild.
Football game I ever watched, he was the game-winning quarterback. First football game I ever watched.
That's wild, dude. Wild.
It's crazy. Now, okay, speaking of old quarterbacks, Drew Brees, your guy, he's retiring, what it seems like. The only thing that hasn't happened is an official announcement, but all speculation, even before the semifinal game in the NFC, was saying he was going to retire. Do you think he should be gone? Honestly, I think his arm he has no arm anymore.
He doesn't pull the right way anymore.
Like, it's more brittle. It seems like he's definitely a game.
I definitely think, especially after the big hit that he took this year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's crazy having been a defensive lineman and having hit a lot of quarterbacks before, I really don't feel like that hit was just something that really should have broke him like that.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, you know, he's done so much for the Saints, for the city of New Orleans. I don't think everybody's going to be sad to see him go, but I think everybody's going to understand.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about them thinking that Jameis Winston is going to be the answer for next year. Yeah.
You're not big on Winston?
Not a big Winston fan. I'm not going to lie.
Not even with Sean Payton, former number one pick.
I think Sean Payton can round him a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just going to be, you know, he's got talent all around him, you know.
Yeah.
Kamara and all those guys.
Their defense is one of the best in the league too.
And he's got a great defense. I think we're going to be a defensive team next year.
Honestly,
if Alvin Kamara can keep performing like he was when he was at his top.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got Michael as a wide receiver, I think. Yeah.
He was out most of the year.
Yeah. And I think our offense really depends on how good Sean Payton can grow Jameis Winston, if Thomas can stay healthy, and if Kamara comes out.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, just from watching their games, when Brees was in there, I mean, even when Taysom Hill was in there, he's still limited as a passer. But when he was in there, you knew everything was going to be within 15 yards. He never threw it downfield hardly at all. The numbers were insane how little he threw the ball down the field.
Well, that's why they call Michael Thomas a slant receiver too.
Yeah. I don't blame that on him either.
Most of his yards come from the slant.
Yeah, for sure. I honestly thought they would have had a better chance with Winston playing. I understand the whole, we got Brees here. You don't want to bench a guy like that, but either way, I felt like Winston would have given them a better chance, at least in these playoffs teams. Whenever they played the Pack, who they play? It was the Buccaneers. Yeah. Whenever they play the
Bucks. Yeah, the Bucks. Yeah.
They went down the field pretty easily. I didn't at the beginning of the game. I'm having trouble remembering the game, honestly. But
at the beginning of the game, they traveled down the field really well.
Yeah.
But I think that again,
they're playing a zone on defense. Brady, the Buccaneers were.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seemed like all you had to do, not all you had to do, obviously, but you switch to that man and press them at the line and force Brees to throw the ball down the field and just tell them receivers, you got to beat us and you're not just going to find a hole in the zone and let us pick them apart. It made a big difference. I didn't understand why the Bears played a cover Tampa two, whatever they were playing the whole game.
Yeah.
Did not switch it at all. No adjustments. The Buccaneers did that. They ended up winning it. Now you mentioned you played a little bit of football, right? You're a tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. I was deep at the tackle. Yep.
Yeah. And how long did you do that?
Oh man, I started. So When I was a little kid, I had, you know, a little bit of the anger issues. So my mom had me start playing peewee ball when I was in like second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played all the way through high school. My senior year, I got hurt a couple times. Mm-hmm. So what offers I did have kind of fell off the table.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got a preferred walk-on spot at UCA and played there for a little bit. And then, injuries killed me. I've had three knee surgeries and a back mm-hmm. surgery and a shoulder surgery. So, you know, and having all that done when you're young, it just doesn't make sense for growing up. And then I had a brain doctor. I don't really know what it's called, but he showed me a scan of my brain and then like a 50-year-old's brain. And it was scary, the comparisons. So, and, you know, growing up the way that we grew up, you know, and playing football at Lake Hamilton, which I love playing football there, but, you know, I didn't have really a whole lot of concussions reported.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So I think that played a lot of it. And then also, you know, I got in college. I was a country boy in college.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I like to do some stupid stuff. So
for sure. I mean, hey, there are a lot of guys go through that. You grow from it, you know, learn from anything that you make. That's how it goes. Instead, you grew up. Tell us where you grew up.
So I grew up in Royal, Arkansas, a little bitty town right outside of Hot Springs. My papaw and them bought a bunch of land down there whenever they moved there. They moved from like the Pine Bluff area of Arkansas to Royal. And so growing up, man, it was always the farm, you know, horses, donkeys, cows, chickens, all that kind of good jazz. So that's kind of how I grew up, was just kind of farm living out in a small town.
Okay. What kind of animals did y'all have when y'all were out there?
So we always had horses. When I was like 10, we got our first donkey, which was crazy. And now we've got like 8 of them out there. I mean, they're everywhere. We have goats. We had sheep there for a little while. And then every year, me and my little brother, we showed cattle at the county fair, state fair. So we always had, you know, a few head of cattle out there, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, growing up on the farm, and I see you with your dip in right now on the video.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a country boy through and through.
Yeah.
I remember when I first met you, somebody, I think it was somebody introduced you, and they said, it's Big Country. That's just what they called you. And I was just like, I'm calling that from now on. That's your contact name in my phone.
Yeah.
That's who you are. You're a big dude. You're a country, God-loving, mama-loving guy. And everybody absolutely loves that about you. There's not another Zach Davis out there. There's guys who might try to be like Zach Davis. There's just not. If you know him, you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I wanted to talk to you about music. Growing up on the farm did you spend a lot of time with your grandpa out there, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. My papa is what I call him, but it's my mama's daddy.
Okay. And I'm sure y'all listen to a lot of George Strait. Tell us a little bit. When you're growing up, I know it's obvious you're a country singer,
right?
Who was you, like? What got you started and falling in love with the country music specifically?
Man, so growing up, my papaw had a, which now papaw buys brand new trucks like every other year, but for the first little while, my papaw had this old, probably like a 94-ish, 5-ish model, it was that Chevy green, that old school, like teal green color.
Yeah.
Single cab pickup truck. And that's what I learned to drive on. And it didn't have, obviously, a CD player, anything like that. So we listened to old 8-tracks.
Sure.
And, man, I remember listening to, like, man, George Jones, the original Hank Williams. My papa wasn't a Hank Williams Jr. fan.
Mm-hmm.
Travis Tritt was my, that was kind of, whenever I heard Travis Tritt and Brooks and Dunn, those guys, that's what made me fall in love with 90s style country music. That's why, that's the style of music I do today. But man, my papa was an old school guy. Marty Robbins was one of his favorites. So, you know, I listened to old like 50s, 60s, 70s country music. His favorite song, that's now my favorite song, is Seven Spanish Angels. Willie Nelson.
Yep. He did a version of that with Ray Charles.
Yeah. Ray Charles. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was, I mean, I played that song at every one of my shows, in honor of my papaw, obviously with my song, Hey Papaw as well. Sure. But that's what really, and then like the Gaither Vocal Band, we listened to them all the time. The Gaithers were a constant in my papaw's vehicle. And that's really where I got that old Southern, gospel style that I really like to have in a lot of my music. So my papaw was very, yeah, exactly. And David Phelps, Jason Crabb, those were my building blocks to, you know, kind of who I became as a singer songwriter.
Sure. That's awesome. Now I know growing up, like my brothers who introduced me to a lot of stuff, my older brother, Jordan, he introduced me like to Skillet. And that eventually brought me into listening to like Red, all these Christian rock bands that I grew up listening to. And when I sang at church, that was who I always tried to sound like, but my voice was never strong enough to do that rock thing. It fits you. And it's totally your personality, that country soul style that you have. But it's funny, when you look at you, you'd expect you to have this super deep baritone kind of thing going on, like John.
Yeah.
But when you get going, you've got this, I don't even know, you can't compare it to anybody. There's nobody who's got a voice like yours. And that's unique about you. But I like what you said, how you drew from all sorts of different styles of country that brought it into the style that you write for.
Right.
Is there certain artists that you find yourself when you're writing, it's like, oh gosh, this is too much that, it's not enough me? Or do you try to draw from different ones and kind of blend it?
I think as a writer, man, a lot of times, especially because, so most people think that, oh, one person wrote this song.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my album was just me, but I had my cousin Zach Hatton was on a bunch of songs. My song Wouldn't Be Me.
Mm-hmm.
My wife actually wrote that with me, and my cousin Zach Hatton. We all three wrote that. So, and then whenever I go to writing sessions here in Nashville, it's always 2, 3, 4, 5 people.
Sure.
And most of the time when you're writing, you're not actually writing for yourself. So I think a lot of the times when you write, you kind of, they say, oh, well, we're writing for this person. And so you kind of look at what style of music they do. You ask them, like, who are your influences? What kind of music do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of who you write towards. Now, whenever I'm writing for myself,
mm-hmm.
I feel like, like you said, you know, I have a very different voice when it comes to, you know, the type of stuff I like to sing. And I, a lot of times I find myself like, oh, that's too much Rascal Flatts. That's one of those big comparisons that I can't stand. because I mean, Rascal Flatts, they had a bunch of stuff when I was younger that I really enjoyed listening to, but a lot of their new stuff is that pop country, you know?
Okay. Are you not a fan of quote pop country?
I'm really not. And it's kind of, you know, it's kind of sad because that's really what drives country music right now is that. Yeah. And it's not like I listen to it, but it's not my favorite, you know?
Sure.
But you know, you have your people like Dan and Shay, mm-hmm. Your Thomas Rhett's, your Kane Browns. Those guys are who are kind of leading the industry right now.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of it, you have, you know, your Luke Combs. Mm-hmm. And I hate to even bring his name up now, but the Morgan Wallen style,
mm-hmm.
you know. But then again, those guys get caught in a lot of controversy because they are like mainstream, but outlaw at the same time. And it's hard to find a middle ground between what will get on the radio
mm-hmm.
and what people see as outlaw country
and what you want to be, you know, when you're
exactly
because, you know, you don't want to be a sellout just to get it on the radio. But at the same time, you want to make a career out of this. You want to make stuff people want to listen to. But
right.
The hope is that they see you through it, you know, and it's not just something that's just thrown on a pen and saying into a mic. It's actually got a story behind it. It's got meaning to it. Yeah. I see what you're saying there. I really appreciate that from you.
Yeah.
So I know you mentioned you've spent a lot of time in Nashville. A lot of people know your brother because of his, when he was on American Idol, and A lot of people don't know you tried out for that.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Man, it was honestly pretty crazy. You know, I wasn't even going to audition. I wasn't going to do it. And then my brother was like, dude, just try it.
Mm.
So I went to Little Rock when they were in Little Rock. And I think this was like 2018. Yeah.
I think so.
So what would have aired the 2019, like beginning of like January or February of 2019. No.
This might have been the year before that even.
Yeah, it was. I filmed in 17 and it aired in 18. That's right. So the experience was, it was crazy to be like 100%, like, because I auditioned in Little Rock, made it there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sent me to Atlanta, Georgia.
People don't realize that. They think it's a major city. It might have been at one point when there were people. But I mean, you got interviews and you got to meet with producers. And then before you actually even get to the judges. Yeah.
Right. So they, after Atlanta is when they sent me to Hollywood.
So you went to, you had three different auditions, really.
Basically.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But then once we got to Hollywood, you could tell how political it was, mm-hmm. which now it's owned by some, I don't know, are we allowed to say names on here of companies?
Yeah.
So now it's owned by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And so Disney's going to make theirs, you know, they're going to make their money. And so basically what happened was I had a contract put in front of me and I was like, this doesn't fly with me. And so I think, you know, for them, it's, if they're not going to make money off of you, you're not going to make money off of them kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where, you know, I got sent home was Hollywood.
Was it kind of a situation? Was it like, you know, this contract's like, you don't really own your own stuff kind of thing. They kind of tell you what to
exactly.
do. You're not down for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it, the contract they put in front of me was different than what they put in front of Noah.
Mm.
So I remember when Noah signed his contract, they only like owned his stuff for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
What they put in front of me was like, they would own 100% of it for a year. And then after that, it kind of dwindled down for like another 2 years or something like that. And I don't remember all the specifics, but I remember it was a big chunk of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you didn't make it that far, which Noah, you know, my little brother, he made it to like the top 40 or top 30 or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're going to make it that far and get that much TV time off of it, it's a little different.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're not guaranteed that. And that's what I've always been a real cautious person. And that was just, for me, that was just too big of a risk.
And so
that's why.
I mean, it's not guaranteed at all. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was cool. I met a lot of really awesome people on the show. I got to meet Luke and Katie and Lionel. And there's still producers from American Idol that I talk to all the time.
Okay.
And some of them have moved to different shows. Like one of them works for The Voice now, and she's always trying to get me to go audition for The Voice. And I'm just like, no, I've had enough.
Don't want to go through all that. TV. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Two of my best friends in this world I met while I was on American Idol. And then to Megan Woods, if you haven't listened to her music, you need to.
Megan Woods.
Isaac Cole. Yeah. Megan Woods and Isaac Cole. They both got music out there. Extremely talented people. And then, you know, you meet these people and man, we write songs together. You know, just the amount of talent that they shun away from that show too is outrageous, man.
Sure. Yeah, I bet. I mean, it's impossible. You think about every talent show you've ever been to, how many of them are just awesome. You're like, wow, they could make it. There's so many of those people. There's so many that got the talent. They might not have the look. There's so many that got the look.
Right.
They got enough of the talent. They sound great. They can't move great. It's so many things that go into it besides just, you know, having a great voice. You know, it's a select few. We take for granted in a way how amazingly talented these artists are, but at the same time, you're like, I wonder what they sacrificed to get there. You know,
right.
I think about all that. And some people, none of them have it. It's so many, that has so much hard work that goes into all of it.
Oh, for sure. It's just like when I was in Atlanta, the people that they sent home, it blew my mind. You know, like people that, you know, I feel like I'm a decent singer, but some of these people were just unrighteous, you know, like just the way that they could control their voice and the notes that they could hit. And they would come out of the room and man, they sent me home. I'm like, what? Yeah. You know, it's crazy.
I bet. Now, I remember when you left and you came back, I knew you were going. You weren't supposed to tell me if you made it or not. You told me you didn't make it. And then all of a sudden, it just was like all of a sudden Zach's doing music like more. Well, it happened between the, because I really don't even know. And I talked to you a lot in this time period. What happened between the American Idol experience and moving to Tennessee to record an album? Or even just because you recorded the album what last year?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you were there before that even. So how does it?
I had been in Nashville for like 8 months before I actually started recording the full album. You know, I had the two singles out before that, which were Home and Dirty Water.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole album, you know, came a little while after, you know, having lived there for a bit. But man, a whole lot changed. You know, I sat there and just, you know, at the time, you know, me and you were working at Cracker Barrel together.
Yep.
And man, Cracker Barrel was a great job. I made decent money, mm-hmm. but I knew that I didn't want to be a server, and I had a second job as a bartender mm-hmm. at the time. So I didn't want to be a server and a bartender my whole life. And when I went, the last words that Luke Bryan said to me were, "You got a great voice, kid, but you need to get more exposure. You need to practice. You need to get yourself out." Because I was nervous when I went in the room. And,
I would be too.
And I think, you know, I think whenever he said that, man, you got what it takes. You just need to work on it. That was my thing that popped off in my head. Like, hey, maybe I am pretty good at this. You know, I'd always had people telling me, man, you got a great voice. Hey, you can write a heck of a song. Because I was writing songs when I was in college.
Yeah.
But when he said that to me, it was like, all right, you know, now not only do I want to prove him wrong because he didn't keep me on the show, but I can do this.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, a lot of times they'll tell people, you know, listen, this might not be for you. That's not the case for you. They said,
right.
And sometimes it just takes the right person saying the right thing. You could hear it 100 times. You know, this is Luke Bryan, right? This is a country superstar.
Yeah, and I think him saying that, you know, and then there was some other stuff that kind of happened, and it's a big old long story, but when Lionel Richie kind of looked at me, he was like, kid, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hearing that from Luke and from Lionel, you're just like, okay, I can do this. And then when I come home, you know, I was putting out music on Facebook and stuff all the time, and, you know, all of a sudden, all my videos started getting a bunch of views, and I got comments and I got fans and followers from all over the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, like if these people can dig it, then there's, you know, where can I go? Because if we're being honest, man, Hot Springs, Royal, Arkansas, there's not really a chance to become somebody.
Yeah. You'll end up singing at a bar every weekend.
Exactly. And I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do this and I want to pursue this dream, you know, I had the dream of being in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that fell short.
Mm-hmm.
So then this is the dream that I can put all of my time and energy into. And what better place to do it than Nashville, Tennessee?
Music
and
City. Yep.
And so, and you know, and then when I got here, man, it was kind of a culture shock because it wasn't what I expected. You know, I thought it was going to be a bunch of cowboys and, you know, real country music. And it wasn't, you know, it was a bunch of dudes walking around in their painted skinny jeans and Toms, you know, playing new school country music. And I had the dirty South. Yeah, exactly. And I had to really adjust myself to that. And I'll be honest with you, dude, I've got songs in my phone right now that I've got wrote with other people that are pop country all the way. Not yeah. something that I would ever record, but maybe one day someone's going to hear that and be like, oh, I dig that song. I can put that on a record. That'll hit the radio.
Yeah.
And so you really have to, going back to the writing thing, you know, you really have to write for others most yeah. of the time. Mm-hmm. Because that's where, I mean, you look at, you think about guys like Chris Stapleton.
Yep.
And
so it comes to mind. Chris, I know Stapleton, he wrote for years.
He wrote for years. He was a lead yeah. singer for a freaking band called the Steel Drivers, you know, and I listened to them, but that wasn't everybody's cup of tea. And then all of a sudden he comes out with his own version of Tennessee Whiskey. And everybody's like, oh, they forgot about George Jones then.
Yeah.
It was all about Chris Stapleton. And what people didn't realize is Chris Stapleton had like 7 number one hit songs that he wrote mm-hmm. before he even jumped behind the mic.
Yep. You know, even, you know, Bruno Mars is that way. There's so many songs he wrote, nobody would realize he wrote. Go look it up. I don't know him off the top of my head right now. I mean, I'm in country mode right now, but
yeah. But yeah, that's, I mean, that's the name of the game right now is, man, the two biggest things to grow as an artist right now, social media
mm-hmm.
and writing.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorites, and he's probably like I have my 90s hero, which is Travis Tritt.
Mm-hmm.
But my today hero is somebody that most people probably never heard of. His name is Drew Parker.
Okay.
He writes with Luke Combs. He writes some of his own stuff, Ray Fulcher, all these guys. And I literally went to a Luke Combs concert one time because Drew was opening for him. I didn't care. I didn't care about Luke Combs. I had seen Luke Combs before.
I care about Luke Combs, whether I saw him before or not. That guy's awesome.
Oh yeah. He's freaking, I mean, the best in the game right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at, and you know, Drew was just, man, he was an inspiration. He was honestly the reason, looking at Drew, because I was a fan of Drew before I moved to Nashville. And when I heard his story, how he was a baseball player and, you know, his dream was to go to the major leagues. And then all of a sudden he started writing music and now he's writing with freaking Luke Combs.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's me. That's what I want to do. You know,
that's awesome.
So he was my biggest inspiration for even moving to Nashville. Sure. Like, mixed with the American Idol, but then I looked at him. I was like, "Oh yeah, I can be the next Drew Parker."
Now, how does that go when you're in Hot Springs and you decide you're going to move to Nashville? Do you have people already setting you up with different opportunities there, or was it kind of like I'm just going to go and make it happen?
So I had some connections up here. I went on tour with a guy named Charlie Farley.
Okay, I've heard of Charlie Farley.
Yeah, he does like the country rap stuff. And so he was signed to a label up here called Average Joe. So I'd gotten to meet some of his people. And then I had actually made friends with a couple other guys that played on Broadway and stuff like that. So I got hooked up with some people and knew that I was going to have opportunities to play music and do music. And so that was once I had those opportunities set up, that's when I was like, okay, it's time to go.
Mm, that's awesome. Now, were you?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's a nerve-wracking experience moving at all. When you're moving, you're leaving your job, you're leaving your whole family here. You don't have anybody. You don't have any family living in Tennessee.
Nope.
So you're leaving everything. You're going to go to Tennessee. What do you do? I mean, didn't you transfer to another Cracker Barrel?
Yeah. I transferred to another Cracker Barrel. Yeah.
So you're literally, I mean, you still got a little bit of income coming in, but I know you had just got engaged too, right?
So at the time I wasn't engaged yet.
You knew you were going to be.
Oh yeah. Yeah. For yeah. sure.
Yeah. So, and you're going to take her with you. And I think she worked at Cracker Barrel too. I remember I trained her actually.
Yeah, that's where we met. Yeah.
Y'all met at Cracker Barrel. Now I know you wrote, I'm sure every song you write about any woman now is her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever I've just got a funny question, whenever you're looking back at songs that you've written years ago, and she hears them and she's like, I wonder who she wrote that for. Does she get resentful or is it more like, hey, you
know, oh yeah,
she would love that one.
No, it's funny. Man, I, you know, whenever we were planning the album, my producer, Nick Gibbons, he produces for guys like CJ. So he actually works for, Average Joe's, that big company I was telling you about.
Yeah.
So, whenever I sat down with him, I was like, all right, man, you know, like, it's time to plan this album. It's time to do this. I probably pitched him 30 songs, maybe more than that. And we really focused in on which we put Home on there. So that's one of the eight. So we honed in on seven songs, had a budget, and man, trying to pick seven songs out of 30, you really have to look at, you know, who's around you. You know, who are you doing this for? And that's really the reason, you know, I picked the songs that I did. And some of the songs that we had picked were older love songs that I had wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then while we were actually planning the album, I wrote My Valentine for mm-hmm. Brianna. And I was like, you know what? I have this love song picked out, but I'm going to put that one in there instead.
Okay.
And dude, that made Brianna so happy because she knew who the other girl was, you know, that I wrote the other song for.
That could be like, problematic.
Yeah. So
you're like, it's a good song.
It's a good song. And the other song is a good song too. And
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying I might not ever record that. It might be on the next album I do. Who knows?
Sure. Yeah.
But
you saved the first one for her.
Yeah. At the time that was one you had to put on the album, you know, so.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Seemed like that was a smart decision.
Oh, for sure.
Happy life. I know that good and well. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My new favorite saying is yes, dear. So
yes, dear. No matter what.
That's right.
For sure. So the album, when did it release? I know was it late last year or early this year?
Late last year. Like the last week of November or something like that.
Yeah. I think it was.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Now it's pretty cool when you were talking about how social media is the way to share it. I think of it almost like word of mouth, but it's faster now.
Right.
You got a buddy that says, hey, this guy's good. You should take a listen. And it shares around and eventually it gets all over the place. Now you're able to see all your music's being listened to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Craziest place that when you've looked at it, you're like, how in the world did they think of, how did they find me?
Honestly, the biggest one right now that still is blowing my mind, I've got two radio stations in Australia that are playing my music. Dude, it's crazy. And then there's actually a page on Instagram that's called Boots of Norway. Okay. This girl is literally from Norway. And she boosts my music. It's like she shares something from my music almost every week. It's honestly close the amount of listeners I have in the US compared to outside the US. It's like almost neck and neck.
Wow.
And so that always blows my mind. Like,
yeah.
How, you know, these other countries, it was just like the other day, funny story. I had this lady that's a fan of mine that lives in England
mm-hmm.
message me. She's like, hey, she's like, I know this might sound weird, but there's this gift I want to get for myself that I can't buy in England. If I send you some money, can you buy it for me and send it to me? I was like, sure, you know. And so she bought some Dolly Parton perfume, had it shipped to my house, and then I had to ship it to her. It's crazy. Just the people that, you know, you find that are listening to you
yeah.
and that are fans of your music that have never, I mean, they've never been to Arkansas, you know?
Yeah.
They probably
didn't know what Arkansas was.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so just the fact that those people are listening to my music and know who I am as a person, it blows my mind every day. Yeah.
That's really awesome. That's crazy. She wanted some Dolly Parton perfume.
Yeah, and so I had it shipped to my house. So
it's my wife's doppelganger in England. Exactly. I don't know what happened all of a sudden in the last few months. Maybe it's because we went. I don't know. There's nothing to do with Dolly and Graceland. We went to Graceland. I thought we'd come back and she'd be all being into Elvis. We're on the way home and she starts playing Dolly Parton. I swear, all I heard for the last 3 months was Dolly Parton, and I like Dolly Parton. I don't know if I like 3 months of Dolly Parton after all.
Yeah. I don't know anybody that could take 3 months. I love Dolly to death.
Yeah.
She was a road burner in country music, especially yeah. for women.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, or I guess a trailblazer is what that's called.
Sure.
Trailblazer for women in country music. But I don't think I could listen to her for 3 months straight.
Yeah. It was her and Reba. And a lot of Reba's show was played in this house for a little while.
Hey, and Reba, man, Reba's got some hits. But every time I listen to Reba, I think about whenever she sings live, because she's great live. I don't know if you've ever seen her live. Mm-hmm. She is great live. Mm-hmm. But she does this thing with her mouth whenever she does runs. And I know, obviously, the people that are listening can't see my mouth, but you can. You'll probably get a good laugh. She does like this whenever she makes these runs, bro. And it cracked me up. So I can't listen to her because that's all I see is her.
A little seizure in the lower lip.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. That's crazy. Now, what kind of places are you performing at now? I know with COVID, it's been a crazy, crazy year. You got to find places that are willing to book at all, let alone book you, someone they might not have even heard of yet.
Right.
That they've heard inklings about. How does that work?
So, man, right now booking is tough. Me and my manager have called and called and called places. And a lot of the times, you know, we send them music and they say, oh, we love your stuff, but we're not busy enough to pay you.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing now. People are willing to have you, but they're willing to have you for half the cost. Yeah. And, you know, whenever you've got a full band and, you know, you got to pay, you got to make your truck payment so you can drive the truck down there. You got to haul all that equipment. You got to pay for the gas. You got to pay for a place to stay. Man, a full band show, you know, people, I mean, even I charge like $4,000 or $5,000, you know,
for a full band.
And for a full band. Yeah. Now, if it's just acoustic, man, I'm going to charge $200 an hour.
Yeah.
Depending on how close it is.
Sure.
Now, if I have to drive 8 hours,
yeah,
it's going to be more like $350 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, full band shows, people are like, oh yeah, man, we'll give you $1,500. Well, I've got four other guys in the band that I've got to pay. I've got to get their food for 4 days. You know,
say, sorry, man, you got to stay back. I can only afford to pay half of you. That sucks.
Exactly. And then, you know, then when you get into that, it's like, well, what instruments do you need?
Yeah.
You know, which ones can you live without? Well, then that's not fair to them because part of their income is playing for me, you know, and I can't sit here and decide whose livelihood is worth taking to the show or not, you know.
You get into
and
the whole just, non-essential or essential worker.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not fair to anybody. It's not fair to the artist either.
Sure.
And that's the part that sucks because, and really, man, it's not fair to the place booking you either, because they get half a show, you know, and you always want to give the best so that your name is good in their minds. And you can't do that, you know, playing for half price, you know, which really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. It's crazy. Now,
yeah,
when you go to these shows, I'm assuming, depending on where you're at, some places are lenient. You know, Florida, they can do whatever they want. You go somewhere slightly further north, you can't have more than 10 people in a room.
Right.
When you go and you look at a crowd and it's socially distanced, or you know, it's just not a lot of people, do you have that same energy, or is that something that you have to like fight when you're up there?
You, as the artist, you have to bring the energy. And that's what sucks, because, you know,
it'd be nice if they just do it for you, right?
Yeah. And, you know, and I have a story actually goes with it. Sure. I went and played in Ohio for New Year's. I had like four places that booked me for a week. And then a couple of them ended up canceling, but I have like a cancellation fee. So I still made money even though I didn't get to play. But one bar up there was like, hey man, you know, we're still gonna let you come play, whatever. And
now, was this book before the pandemic or
this? No, this was like this past New Year.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Like,
gotcha.
And brother, the bar that I was playing at that night, I mean, I started playing, there was, you know, it was socially distanced, there wasn't a whole lot of people. And then all of a sudden phones start popping out and people are taking videos. And dude, the next thing I know, there's probably 200 people in this bar. And I mean, I didn't mind it, you know. I was making more tips.
Yeah.
The bar's making
them on the stage anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and then the next thing I know, the cops are rolling up because there's too many people. Well, the bar owner basically said, hey, look, I'll pay the fine because I'm making really good money. So he stayed open. And that's the thing, man. He said that was the busiest they'd been in a year. You know, and so it's getting to the point now where the bars and places that book you, which it was just an acoustic show. Yeah. I played for 3 hours and he paid me like $400. But at the time it was just a show for me. So I didn't charge him near as much as I would have pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But man, there were so many people in there and they hadn't heard live music in forever.
Sure.
So that dude, I made $1,000 in tips in that one night.
Yeah.
And it was just like the bartenders were making good money. The owner was making great money and it was like a $500 fine. Man, he paid it and was like, all right, screw it. I'm done.
Yeah. You know, made like, more than that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Easily.
Yeah.
And so that it's getting to the point now where people just don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have live music and in Tennessee, it's not that way because, you know, this is the live music capital. There's still live music going around.
Yeah.
And if I wanted to, I could go pick up shows on Broadway and I could go do all that. But man, it's not really worth it because you can't get up and dance.
Mm-hmm.
So if I play an upbeat song, you can't line dance to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for me as an artist, I can't create enough energy having to stand in one spot on the stage.
Yeah.
Because I'm not allowed to dance. I'm not allowed to do all that kind of stuff. So I can't create enough energy for everybody else and they can't get up and do it either. So man, right now it's just like, it's almost like, what's the point of playing live music? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I can't even imagine how that would be. Especially now, it's crazy. It's the craziest times. And then now we've got this crazy snowstorm. So
yeah,
stuck home. Yeah. If you show now, you wouldn't be able to go anyway. For people, if anybody's listening outside of the South, I'm sure you've heard about Texas being snowed in, losing all their power. Well, Arkansas and Tennessee matter too. Okay. We had about a foot of snow and everybody up in the North, you know what bugs me? They go, oh, that's just a drizzle. They don't talk.
Yeah.
That's just a drizzle. And I'm just like, yeah, but y'all are used to this. We don't have piles like y'all got. We don't have all that extra stuff. We don't keep chains in our garage for our tires because we never need them. And then when something crazy happens like this, y'all act like we're crazy because.
Exactly.
But yeah, back to your music. I went on a little tangent there.
On a tangent.
With what do you have plans for when the pandemic's over? Do you have a tour that you have coming up or you plan on opening for somebody or maybe get back in the studio?
So we do have plans to get back in the studio this year. I don't know about an album, you know, because that takes a bunch of money. It takes a bunch of sponsors and people just don't have the money to sponsor right now. But I do have plans. I've got a few songs that I wrote that I really think could be pretty big for me. So we'll be getting in there hopefully within the next couple months and recording some of those. As far as, you know, me doing music whenever the pandemic ends, you know, we kind of just have to wait to see when it is going to end, you know. And of course, once it does, you know, me and the band, we're going to sit down for a whole week and my manager and we're just going to book shows. And so once we get like the green light to play in all these places, it's going to be game on, you know. This pandemic has really slowed everybody that does music down.
Yeah.
Even your big time artists, you know, they're not getting to play shows
for sure. That's why they're accepting some crazy. I mean, some of the commercials I've seen, different TV spots, it's just like, it's like they really have nothing to do. They haven't had attention in a while. These people love, I mean, this is what they build their life on, what they build their career,
right?
Getting attention of some kind. And I don't blame them for that. I mean, what they do, but stuff that I've seen them taking, it's like, wow, I can't believe this is what they did. I looked at, there was a video that came out a while back and it was do you remember when the pandemic first started, they had this Imagine video with a lot of different celebrities. And they were singing back to back song Imagine. Weird song choice, by the way. It's like Imagine No Heaven While Your Grandma Might Die. It's kind of like, oh, so she's, that's, I don't know. I don't really want to think about that. I'm stealing a little bit from Joe Rogan when I say that, but I'm with him on that. Anyway, it's all about like, this is what they're doing because they haven't had any attention. And they thrive off of that. That's how they build their career. They make their money that way. I can't even imagine for an up-and-coming artist. You know, I'm trying to build. I'm trying to go out and get people to hear me for the first time. I can't actually go out and do this. Now, when you recorded this album, it was during 2020, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So luckily in the studio, you don't have a whole lot of people there. It's not too tough, but getting it out there might not be as easy, right? Because you're not actually going different cities as much,
right?
And buy my album, you know, tell your friends and all that.
Right. And that's where social media, you know, the whole social media thing comes into play.
Sure.
Is that, like you said, you know, we started recording the album in February, like kind of before everything came to a halt. And so we had all of my songs, like the music to all the songs, we had that done in February. And I came in and I recorded like vocals for two tracks. And then all of a sudden, hey, we got to shut down. And so for 5 months, my songs just sat there, you know, and then sponsors backed out because it wasn't getting done. And, you know, we had to go and find sponsors like, hey, look, like I've already got this thing going. I've got most of it paid for already. I just need some help on the back end, just the finishing touches. And luckily we got those, but now it's a streaming game because I can't go out and I can't play shows. So it's what can I do to get more people to stream it, to listen to it? Because if we're being honest, I don't make a whole bunch of money off of the streams, but the more people we get to listen to it and what little bit does go back into my pocket, that's how more music gets made.
Sure.
And you know, when people think, oh, well, you know, we can just stream this music or, you know, we'll get it on Apple Music, whatever. What people don't understand is I make less than a penny per stream every time someone listens to that song. But if they would go and spend $10 on the album, I think I got 80% of that. So like $8 would come to me. Yeah. And if I could get 1,000 people to spend that $10.
Yeah.
Well, then there's $8,000 in my pocket that's going to get to go towards, you know, me making new music. And
yeah,
and that's what people don't understand. You know, like the big dogs, you know, like the big dogs like Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen and Kane Brown that have got these amazing streaming numbers, they make great money off that because yeah, it's less than a penny, but when you get 2 million streams in a week, you know, you're sitting there making thousands of dollars, you know, and then they already have, you know, their big record labels that are paying for most of the stuff anyway.
Yeah.
So whenever you're trying to make it in this kind of music, man, it's tough trying to live off streams and not getting to play shows and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm sure it feels bad for you because you don't want to be a beggar. You don't want to be like, hey, please buy my album.
Exactly.
Don't stream it right now. Like, go on iTunes and buy it. Don't actually just go in there and listen to it. But it's like, why? I already pay for this every month. Yeah,
exactly.
That's where you're coming from. Because when you are touring, every show you go to, and now you're obviously paying for the tour, but every show you're going to, you got CDs there. You've got t-shirts there. You've got something, you know what I mean? And then and it's tough right now if you don't have the streaming numbers even to get in a store to have a CD. It's
right.
Time I hate to be such a downer. It's the worst time to get started is now. But
for sure.
Once it's all over, it's going to feel so good to get out there and go out. And
oh, yeah. And it was crazy. Like before COVID, I was, and I can't think of her name off the top of my head right now, but I got hooked up with a lady in Nashville and she was the vocal coach for Beyonce back in the day. And so now she's the vocal coach for Lauren Elena, Scotty McCreery, you know, all these pretty big names in country music. And she was like, hey, I love your sound. Let me fine tune it. And you don't even have to pay me. Well, then I got I felt bad because this lady, she charges like $300 an hour for me to come in there. So then I got a sponsor that paid for me to go see her once a month. And then she started bringing people to these meetings. And so I got to meet with Sony and I got to meet with Warner Brothers and, you know, all these big time companies. And before the pandemic, it was like, hey, dude, we really love your stuff. We want to help you boost your numbers, blah, blah, blah. What can we do? Oh, man, you know, I just need the social media. And that was the biggest thing was you had to have a certain amount of followers before they would sign you.
Yeah.
And so they were like, man, we would love to sign you. This is what we're going to do to help. And then pandemic hits and I'm just crap out of luck, you know? Yeah.
And it's not your fault.
Exactly. And so hopefully, man, once this all ends, I'll be able to get back, you know, with that lady. Oh God, I can't. I wish I could remember her freaking name.
You'll remember it as soon as we hit end.
Yeah, you're probably right. But, you know, and I'll get back in with her and I'll get back to meeting with these people and hopefully, you know, it'll take off then.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a waiting game. And I am the most impatient. I am terribly impatient. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, you know, I've only lived in Nashville for a year and 8 months. And man, I've done a lot more than what most people have done in a year and 8 months. I've really been, you know, putting my nose to the grindstone and working my butt off. And, you know, it sucks that it doesn't matter how hard you work. It's all about who you know.
Yeah.
And so being able to get back in there with her and meeting these people, you know, that's how you get to do it, you know? Yeah.
And those opportunities will come again. I'm certain of it. You're a talented guy. I think we're at a good stopping point. We've been going almost an hour. I mean, not quite, almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to plug? Obviously, we want people to go buy the album. It's called Hey Papaw. Listen to the singles. My personal favorite of your singles was Home when it came out. Now, there was one on the album, and I hate that I can't remember off the top of my head. I should have had that. Hold on. But go ahead. Get going on what you want to plug.
Yeah. So, like he said, man, buy the album. I hate to be a beggar, but, you know, that's really where, you know, up and coming artists, you know, make their money is when you buy it. I do have one single out right now. It's called What You Say. It's also on the album, but it just got picked up by Discover Country on Spotify. So if y'all have Spotify, check out the Discover Country playlist. Y'all go listen to that. And yeah, man, I mean, the biggest plug is follow my social medias. If you don't, if you need them, I can tell them to you right now. How you going to do it? But so on Instagram, it's ZachDavis50. Facebook is just Zach Davis Music. I am on TikTok. We love the TikTok. And I think it's ZachDavis50 as well on there. So y'all go follow those. We're always looking for requests, things people want us to play, kind of music that people want to hear. So y'all go drop some requests down in there. Let us know what you want to hear. And then, buy the album. I mean, that's the biggest plug right now is just buying the album so that I can come out with more music. We've got some really cool songs planned to come out as long as the money's there. And I think people will really enjoy them once they come out.
For sure. My favorite one, I looked it up, is Back When. I don't know why I couldn't remember off the top of my head. It's the last song on your album.
You know, and that one, you know, if I'm being 100% honest, that's my least favorite song on the album.
On the album? Really?
And oh, yeah. On the whole album, that's my least favorite song. But that is everyone's favorite.
That's how it seems to go. Yeah. Every artist I've ever met in my life, they always – I know I hate that one, though.
Yeah. It's so crazy. You know, like, I really thought that obviously What You Say is kind of done it's what a fun I thought song. It was going to do. But I really thought people's favorite on there would be Hey Papaw.
Yep, that's a great one though. I'm not Dear Mama, hate on any of them.
Yeah, hey, I really thought that Hey Papaw and Dear Mama were going to be the two that really blew up.
Yeah.
But man, Back When has the second most streams out of all of them. What You Say is number one, and then Back When is number two. Which Home has been out for a lot longer. So that one does have a lot of streams, and that one's on.
It's a great song.
I've had 97 radio stations play that song. So, so that one's been really cool. The whole album got picked up by iHeartRadio, which was amazing. So if y'all have any iHeartRadio stuff, you can go listen to it on there. And if you have an iHeartRadio station, you can call in and request it. If they play it, it's kind of up to them, because I am an independent artist at the moment. So they may not, they probably won't. But if you have an iHeartRadio station near you, it is able to be played on their radio stations. But and then I guess the second big plug would be Bobby Bones. If you can call into Bobby Bones, not even request a song, just be like, hey, this cat, Zach Davis, you need to listen to him. Tag him on social media.
Man, he's Bobby Bones
is the name of it. Oh, yeah. And see, he's from my wife's hometown, too. Yep. So, but in country music, Bobby Bones is the name of the game, getting your stuff out there. So, y'all shoot my stuff over, email him, call him, whatever you got to do. But tell him a hometown boy wants to come play on the show.
Funniest thing is when you drive into that town, that little town that he's from, and you see the little sign that says hometown of Bobby Bones, and you're just like, that's a radio.
Yeah.
Cracks me up. I actually had one of his math teachers was one of my math teachers in college at National Park.
Oh, heck yeah.
For a little bit. She's not there now. But I remember I had the glasses on and all that. So she said, you kind of look like how he did back when he was your age. And I'm like, I don't see it, but I don't know. I didn't know him back then. But yeah, it's funny that you say that. Definitely go buy the album. Hey, Pat Paul. And you know what? Buy the album and then stream it off after that on Spotify.
There you go.
And Apple Music and all that stuff. Go buy it. Tell all your friends. Do you have merchandise at all on any website or anything?
I've got a little bit. I'm having to rebuild a new website. So a new website is coming. I've got one box of shirts. So, and once I get all those sold, I'm going to have more coming. So if you guys do want some shirts, direct message me on social media. I'll be able to get those to you. I actually just did a shirt giveaway on TikTok, and I'm doing another one next week. So, hit up the TikTok. We're going to be doing some pretty big giveaways, some stuff from some sponsors as well. So we're really excited about that too.
That's awesome. Zach, it was awesome to have you on. I'll see you again soon. I love you, bro.
For sure.
See you again. All right.
Love you too, man.
All right, man. All right. I'll see you.
Yes, sir.
All right, everybody. That was Zach Davis. I really appreciate everybody for listening. Coming up in the near future, we're going to have a writer from the Patriots website. I'm super excited to have him on. And we'll definitely have Zach on again. I feel like this went awesome. He's got plenty more stories to tell. I promise you, we haven't even cracked the surface of some of the funny stories that this guy has. I really enjoyed this conversation, though, getting to talk about his music and look into, you know, what it actually is like for an artist right now during the pandemic, one that is just up and coming. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see y'all again soon in the near future, and y'all just have a great rest of your day. Thank you.